This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Now, feelings are real, and we don't need to deny that we have them, but we do need to deny them the right to manipulate us and control us. Watchman Nee, who's a great Christian writer, said that emotions are the believer's number one enemy. They keep people walking in the flesh. They keep people out of the will of God. I think it's just good to take a little time this afternoon just to remember how easily we're led around by our feelings. Do you know how much we tell other people what we think, what we want, and how we feel? Well, Joyce, will you pray for me? I feel like God doesn't love me. Well, Joyce, will you pray for me? I don't feel like God hears my prayers. Well, Joyce, will you pray for me? I just don't feel like that I can go on. You listen to how often people tell you how they feel. Now, feelings are real, and we don't need to deny that we have them, but we do need to deny them the right to manipulate us and control us. Right? Is there anybody here today who believes that if you would control your emotions a little bit more and not let them control you as much, that your life would get a whole lot better? Amen? So, like I said, I need this. Even if you don't, I'll be happy to listen to myself. All right. We cannot always control how we feel, but believe it or not, we can control what we do. Amen? You know, I'll just give you an example. My dad abused me. My mother knew it and let him. I went to one of my aunts and uncles for help, and they didn't want to get involved. Now here, I'm this child being sexually abused, and all these people that are supposed to love me were hurting me. Now, it was easy to hate them and resent them until I wanted to go deeper in God. And when I made that decision, then I kept coming up against walls of things that hindrances in my life that, like we said this morning, the chief slinger, the devil, had slung at me. And in order for me to then go on to a next level with God, that thing had to be submitted to God and had to be moved out of my way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You cannot have a right relationship with God and be angry with people and have bitterness and resentment in your heart. It just will not work. And because there's so many people that hurt us and so many people that don't seem to care about us, I can tell you forgiveness is something you're going to have to practice probably almost every single day of your life in some way, shape, or form. If you're around people, you're going to have an opportunity to need to forgive people. Okay, so fast forward all these years, I worked through the best I knew how to forgive. But, you know, I wanted it more to just be like, okay, I forgive you. I'm not mad, but please stay out of my life. You know, there's forgiveness at a distance. And then there's forgiveness that gets real close and intimate, and that's a whole different story. So I don't want to take a long time on this, but ultimately, my dad, my mother, and my aunt, because my aunt and uncle never had any children, and my aunt was my mother's sister, and my uncle was my dad's brother, so there was a very close relationship there. Spent a lot of time with my aunt and uncle when I was young. I only have one brother, and he's deceased now, but he couldn't even take care of himself. I needed to take care of him too, so he couldn't help me. So long story short, I came down to all three of them, my dad, my mom, and my aunt, all three of them needed to be taken care of because they all lived a really long time. So then I see this scripture in Timothy that says, if you have relatives that are in need, and you won't take care of them, then you're worse than an infidel. It doesn't say do it if you feel like it. It doesn't say do it if they've been nice to you. It doesn't say do it if they deserve it. It just says do it. Well, I really wish somebody else, some remote cousin or member of the family somewhere, would have stepped up, but nobody did. Now, I'm already so busy in my life, the last thing I have time to do now is take care of three elderly people. Because it gets to the point where you got to get their groceries, you got to get their grass cut, and it all gets very expensive because they're not making money anymore. They're just costing money. So I had all three of them on my hands, and I just want to tell you, and you know, they've all gone home to be with the Lord. My aunt passed away last year. And you know what? I'm just going to be very honest with you. Because of the relationship that we had throughout my life, and because really none of them had done anything for me or been there for me when I needed them, it was the most flesh-grating thing that I ever had to do in my life, was to spend 15 years making sure all their needs were met. But I'll tell you something, it was probably the most powerful thing that I ever did, and more than anything that God gave me the grace to do, it probably defeated the devil in my life. And no telling. But I want to make it clear that I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't want to do it. So you don't have to feel like doing everything you do. And you don't have to want to do everything you do. This is where we come into deeper levels of spiritual maturity where we say, God, I don't want to. And I don't even really think it's so fair that you asked me to. But nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. So I might as well just throw this out there. You know, maybe you've got parents that didn't treat you right. Just maybe somebody, I don't know. And maybe you don't ever bother to call, or you won't do anything for them. And well, you know what? Maybe this is a wake-up call. You don't get to just do what you want to do if you want to follow God. You say, God, what do you want me to do? And you do what he wants you to do. And you know what? When you start living like that, God's blessings are going to chase you down and overtake you. We all come up against things in our life. It's like, you ever feel that way? Like you're walking into a wall and you just wish God would move it out of the way, but he's not going to. Some way, somehow, you got to find the right door and walk through it to get to the next level with God. And that door is always some door of obedience that you need to walk through in your life. And even now, I look back at the way I felt, and I mean, I did a lot for them. It was expensive. We went to the nursing home all the time. We made sure they went to the doctor. I did the very best that I could, but I look back now and I think, you know, I probably could have done a little better. So I'm just telling you, don't make the wrong choices and then spend half of your life in regret, because you can't go back and fix something that you should have done right to start with. Come on, is God speaking to anybody? All right. Watchman Nee also said this, and I love this. He who lives by emotion lives without principle. Wow. And you know what a principle is? It's an accepted rule of action, a course of conduct that you are committed to, are a standard that you live your life by. And I can tell you, this is one of the things that is seriously missing in our society today. Well, there's no absolute truth. Do what you feel like. Everything's relative. You're the most important person on the planet. As long as you're happy, things are good. And that's not the standard that God calls us to live by. We're called to Christ-likeness. And in every area of our life, if we want to do what's right, we need to check the Bible and see how Jesus would have handled that situation. And then see, we can think, well, I can't, I can't, I can't. But no, let's back up. If you can't, then God wouldn't have told you to. And if he told you to, then you can't. You can't do it without him, but you can do it through him and by his grace and by his power. Now, Watchman Nee wrote a great book. It's pretty thick, but it's really good. If you want some deeper reading, it's called The Spiritual Man. Has anybody read that book? Okay. So, this is just a little section out of the book, and I want to take the time to read it. It's just a couple paragraphs. We should remember that in walking after the Spirit, all of our actions must be governed by principles. Since the Spirit has its own laws and principles, to walk by the Spirit is to walk according to its laws. With spiritual principles, everything becomes sharply defined. There is a precise standard of right and wrong. If it's yes, then it's yes. If it's no, then it's no. Whether the day is clear or cloudy, if it's no, then it's no. Rather exciting or depressive, if it's no, then it's no. The Christian's walk should follow a precise standard. And the Word of God must be the standard for our life. Let me say again, and we all want our way, me just as much as anybody else, but it is not God's job to spend all of his time trying to keep us happy.
Stay tuned for a candid conversation with Joyce. Are you in control of your emotions, or do they control you? Joyce shares godly wisdom on how to manage your emotions in her book, Living Beyond Your Feelings. You can learn to handle your feelings in positive ways so they don't create chaos in your life. And you'll also receive this Be Yourself mug for a gift of $25 or more. This offer is available today. Visit us at joycemeyer.org or call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673.
If you're going to fight and win, you got to know who you are and you got to know whose you are. Who you belong to and who you are in Christ. Walk around your house when the devil's after you and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am set apart and made holy by the blood of Jesus. I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything I lay my hand to prospers and succeeds.
What we are talking about today, this conversation, is maybe the most important conversation anybody ever has. And sometimes it takes a friend to talk through it with you to really understand it. And that is understanding who you are in Christ, who God made you to be, and what Jesus did for it. So let's just start with, because you talk about this all the time, but let's start with what do we even mean by that? And why does it matter so much that we need to grasp this concept?
Well, when you're born again, you become a brand new creature. All things pass away, and all things become new. Now, you're not going to look at yourself in the mirror and look any different, but I like to say that we become brand new spiritual clay. And if we will let ourselves be molded into the image of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, gradually, little by little, everything about us will change. And when you're born again, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you. Matter of fact, the whole Godhead lives in you. You become the home of God. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. But you're also considered to be in him. If you read the epistles, it's always using the terminology in him. And in him basically refers to you've accepted Christ now, and he's in you, and you're in him. And sometimes I use the example of, like, if this was an empty glass, and I put it into a bucket of water, saying that bucket of water was Christ, which is a poor example, but just to get the point across, then this cup would be filled up. So when I'm put in him, I also become full of him. And so
I think that's a great way to describe it. It's a great example.
We have two identities. We're
We have the old self, which basically, according to Romans 6, died when Christ died and was risen when he was risen. Now, we know that didn't physically take place, but spiritually it did. Mm-hmm. And so he is seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. The Bible says that we're seated in him. So we live two places. We live here. We live in heaven. We have two lives. We have the life that we live every day, but then we have our life in Christ. We have what's going on inside of us. And I know it's challenging for people to understand, but who you are in Christ is, like you said, one of the most important things, because we always want to think about what we do. Mm-hmm. Or if you notice, one of our greetings to people is, so what do you do? You know, not how are you? Well, sometimes how are you, but what do you do?
Right away when you meet someone, yeah. If you're, what's your name and what do you do?
Yeah, if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're, you know, something that sounds a little impressive, you kind of get, But if you're, you know, a regular something, it's still okay, but it doesn't hit people the same way. So we have a tendency in our life to think that our worth and value is based on what we do. And we bring that into our relationship with God. And so if we do good things, we're worth more than if we make mistakes. And it's very important for us to understand that our worth is not based on our do, it's based on our who. So I use that little analogy all the time. It's not your do, it's your who. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, the thing that's not important to God is, did I read 25 chapters in the Bible today? That's important, but it's really important to me more than it is God, because I'm the one that needs to read it. He already knows it. So that's, we always kind of act like, or we think, well, I'm doing this for God. I'm getting my brownie points with God if I read, if I pray, if I do this or that. And you're not doing any of that for God. When you pray, you're not doing God a favor. All the benefits of that is something for you. Mm-hmm. But if I know who I am in Christ, that is important to him. I know that God loves me. I know that he has a good future planned for me. I know that my sins are forgiven, completely forgiven and forgotten and removed as far as the east is from the west. And if we base our value on our do, then we're always trying to do something more. But if you can just learn who you are in Christ and you're loved because God loves you. You're not loved because you're perfect. You're loved because God is love. And he has decided to love you. Matter of fact, he loved all of us while we were still yet in sin and prepared for Jesus to die for us before we even knew him.
Right.
So how much more might he even love us now that we're at least making some kind of an effort to serve him? And it's so freeing when you can learn that you don't have to do everything right. Anybody who loves God is going to try. I mean, you're not going to prevent them from trying, and something would be wrong probably if they didn't want that. But in your heart, you can't base your value on that. Like, sitting here right now, and I'm not saying this just to try to sound spiritual, I know that in myself, I am nothing. I know that. I don't deserve to be doing what I'm doing. I don't deserve the blessings I have in my life. I don't deserve to be on this TV program. I deserve, because of my sins, to die and go to hell. But Jesus did that for me. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made, not earned, but we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, Ginger, all my life I felt bad about myself because I'd been sexually abused by my dad, and the devil had me convinced there was something wrong with me or that I did something to make that happen, which of course wasn't true.
Right.
But I felt guilt and I was ashamed. I was not just ashamed of what he did to me, but I was ashamed of myself. It was like a deep-rooted shame. And God had to deal with me about that and bring truth to me about that, that because that happened to me, once I became God's daughter, that happened to somebody that doesn't even exist anymore. And now when I think about it, I actually feel like that happened to somebody I used to know a long, long time ago. And it took me a long time to really get that I was the righteousness of God, because that means that you're right with God. You know, we're always thinking about what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. And if you're not like somebody else, what's wrong with me? And if you don't like what they like, what's wrong with me? And if you don't study the Bible as much as they do, what's wrong with me? And the thing is we need to learn to think in terms of what's right with me. And God is what's right with me. Through him, I can do all things. I'm nothing in myself, but in him, I'm everything.
Yeah. And there's such a void of love in this world.
Right.
There's so much in the way that we treat each other and the anger that's in the world and all of the conflict and different
right.
things that are going on. And I think we kind of absorb that and begin to think, I'm unworthy of love.
Right.
Or I can't be loved because of
right.
those dues that
right.
you're talking about. I haven't done the right things, or I have done the wrong things
right.
either way. And so there's something really beautiful in this love that you're talking about, being dipped down in that bucket and coming out full
yeah.
in a way that the world doesn't give us because we didn't earn it.
The Bible
but it's
says
who Jesus is.
The Bible says in Colossians, we are complete in him.
Mm.
Now just think about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe you're single and you go to a party and you feel like you're missing something because you're not going with a date. But the fact is, you're complete in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's just say that you become a widow or a widower. And so now you feel odd when you go around your married friends because you don't have a partner anymore. But the fact is, that's a lie from the devil, because your husband didn't make you complete. Your date doesn't make you complete. You're complete in Christ. And how wonderful does that feel to say, I'm complete. I don't need anything else to be okay.
Yeah.
And there's so many in hymns in the Bible. If we had a list of them, it would take a long time. Actually, when I found out what this was going to be about today, I thought, you know, it's time for me to do a nice long series again on knowing who you are in Christ, because it, like, you know, like receiving the love of God, that's just not something you get overnight. A lot of these things, you got to study them for a long time, and you got to study them over and over and over. And I have probably said out of my mouth thousands and thousands of times, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because self-talk is very important. How you talk to yourself about yourself really helps formulate who you believe that you are.
It also formulates how you react with everybody else. It impacts all your relationships. It impacts how you are able to feel about who you are on
right.
the inside, and it impacts how you're able to serve and live the life that God wants us
right.
all to have. All of those things are impacted by this one, and I'm not going to say simple because it's not simple, but it is a done deal.
Right.
It's like God already loves you.
I like that. It's when he said it is finished.
Yes.
He meant the law was finished. We don't live under the law, and where there's no law, there's no sin. We don't try to do right because God's going to be mad at us if we don't. I like to say it like this. We don't try to do right to get God to love us. We do it because he loves us.
Yeah.
There's such a difference in that. I don't get up every morning and pray, so God will love me, but I love him. I love spending time with him.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting brownie points because I pray or, you know, things like that. And
yeah.
It's just, your new life in Christ cannot really even get started until you have that basic, I know that I know that I know that God loves me.
Yeah.
And he loves me unconditionally.
I feel like it's kind of that springboard.
Yeah.
That takes you forward to everything else. It's what allows you to accept love
yeah.
from God, from other people. It's what allows you to be able to move forward in life and to be satisfied with who you are. And without that, it's like there's a wall in front of that and you yeah. just can't get through it.
How you feel about yourself is what determines how you treat other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you love yourself and you like yourself and you respect yourself, you're going to be able to give that away. And it's so freeing to be able to love myself. And I'm not saying like I'm in love with myself, but to love who God created me yeah. to be. You know, really, if you don't like yourself, it's really kind of a being rude to God, because he created you in your mother's womb with his own hand and he doesn't make mistakes. And so we need to thank God every day. Thank you for making me who I am and how I am, and I know that I'm not a mistake and that you have good plans for me.
Yeah.
If everybody would take 3 or 4 or 5 minutes every morning and just say some good things, God loves me unconditionally, he has a good plan for my life. Something good is going to happen to me today, and something good is going to happen through me today. This is a good day. I'm going to enjoy this day, and God loves me unconditionally, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Can you imagine?
It would make a huge impact.
Because what happens normally, you wake up in the morning, you lay in bed, and the first thing you start thinking about is everything you did wrong yesterday. And I'm so glad I'm free from that.
Yeah.
So glad I'm free from that.
So I can just see a whole lot of people right now just taking that cup and dipping it down in the bucket
yeah.
and coming up full.
And almost being like, do I dare believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this really true? Can I? Because see, people think, if they think religiously, they think, well, it would be wrong to feel that way about myself. I don't know why, but, you know, just I'm talking relationship. I'm not talking religion. Religion always makes it sound holy to feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's just so wrong.
It's not what God
it's
wants.
It's just not what God wants at all.
Yeah. Good talk, Joyce. I know a lot of people needed this. So
Good. It's
life-changing. It's the stuff that matters most.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.